gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City this week. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, 6 minutes after the hour. Another big, big show. David Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower's, President Eisenhower's grandson.
That's right. And
on his, and
I have a little bit of trivia about David Eisenhower.
Yes.
Camp David was named after him.
Named after David Eisenhower.
That's right.
Okay. Zach Carter, fellow at the Campaign for America's Future, next hour to talk about the Citizens United decision and what is happening, with campaign fundraising, race to race, yada, yada, yada. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. In the meantime, for the very first time, joined by Congressman Danny Davis of the great state of Illinois. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for coming on with us this morning.
Well, we're delighted. Delighted.
Big week in the home stretch. Here we go. Let's talk about getting out the vote coming up to Tuesday.
Well, you know, every effort is being put forth. Of course, right now, lots of people are engaged in what's called the ground game.
Right. Right.
That is, they've been throwing missiles in the air and doing television and radio commercials. But now is the few days left where you get out and press the flesh. You beat the streets. You hit the doors. You buttonhole people at the service station. In the grocery store. So it's down to the wire, in Illinois especially.
Well, you know, I mean, this is the thing that, I've heard, Congressman, I was up in Ithaca at my station and just talked to a lot of listeners face-to-face, and a lot of them are telling me that you know what, people really respond to face-to-face. I think everybody is tired of these negative ads, and they're just in a lot of places, because of Citizens United and whatever, they're just barraged, or the candidate's own personal money out here in California. We're just barraged with Meg Whitman ads, and fortunately, in some cases like that, it's not really helping. So, what is helping is people going door to door and getting real information.
Well, you know, the day of volunteerism to a degree sort of went down as technology increased. But then, the real political types who know what's going down, when it gets down to the last few days, the last few minutes, the last few hours, everybody knows that if you can press the flush, then you're going to do better.
You know, Congressman Davis, down in Brazil, who's a pretty smart pundit as these things go, she just wrote a piece for Roll Call called Republicans Aren't Enthusiastic, They're Just Mad. And that's,
I think Donna may be on to something there. I think that people, especially, those who have the greatest amount of ire, seem to be just upset and angry. They hate to acknowledge, for example, that the economic condition of our country was really brought on before the Democrats got in charge. That by the time Barack Obama became president, my Lord, we were teetering on the brink of disaster.
Yep.
And, we've been able to pull it up a little bit, bring it back a little bit, stabilize things a little bit, stop some of the hemorrhaging, and now we're ready to move forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, just to quote you at the end of Donna Brazile's piece, she says, listening to the news, I sometimes feel I'm watching a promo for a disaster movie, another attempt by the well-funded right-wing noise machine to rewrite history before it happens. But tempests and teapots won't decide this election. Voters who know the rest of the story will. So I think now we are at the push comes to shove time, right?
Well, we are. I think Democrats are pulling out everything that we can possibly pull out. I know here in Illinois we just had the former president, Bill Clinton, in the other day, and, hey, that gave us a great boost and a good hit.
And you don't draw the kind of crowds he's drawing and the president are drawing if there's some enthusiasm gap that the media has told us, right?
Oh, without a doubt. As a matter of fact, the president is going to be in town Saturday and I guess finding enough space for all the people to come.
will
be the difficulty.
Yep, exactly.
So I think things are catching on. I mean, people know that you can't relax, you can't lay back, you can't rest on your laurels. You just got to get out and do it. And you got to do it with a sense of urgency, now is the time. I call it the most critical election, although I must say that I always say that every election
is
critical.
Right.
But this one for sure, because it defines the direction of America. And and that's a very important aspect of this election. And, you know, I just hope everybody will get out, make sure they vote, bring somebody with them, tell people the story, let them know that if you're not doing it, you're really giving up a basic part of your citizenship responsibility.
Well, right, and that, I think, goes to the point that, you know, Americans have a funny way in a democracy of not liking to be told by the media who's going to win before they've had a chance to vote. So,
yeah,
you know,
we sometimes like to defy what the media is saying.
Right.
So don't let anybody else define
you. No, I mean, I'm tired of this storyline. The Tea Party is so all-powerful and so, you know, terrifying. And and you got to look at all these races around the country are tightening. Let's talk about, you know, who I've met is, I'm going to say his name wrong, the Mark Kirk and, can you say
Mark
his name?
Mark Kirk and Alexa Giannoulis.
That's it.
Giannoulis, that's right. Yeah. I've met Mr. Giannoulis, and he is a terrific candidate, and that race is in a dead heat, isn't it?
Delightful young fella. As a matter of fact, Alexa, I know very well, and I joked the other night that I was campaigning with him 4 years ago when he was running for state treasurer, and his mother called me and said, could you do me a favor and make sure my baby gets something to eat? And I say, yes, ma'am, we'll do that. But Alexei has a firm grasp of the issues. I think he survived a serious onslaught. The Republicans are throwing everything at him, including the kitchen sink, but he is still standing. Mm-hmm. The race is pretty much even up. I think he may be even a point or two ahead. When you kick in, of course, the margin of error, they're about as even can be.
Yep. So yep. That's why all our WCPT listeners there in Chicago gotta hit the ground there on election day for Alex. For Alexei, excuse me.
We can definitely win this one in the last two or three days. This is definitely a last two or three day win opportunity.
Right, and that's the case all over the place. Like you say, it's like there was this storyline, and then these races tightened all over the country, or, as you say, in a lot of cases, the Democrat pulling ahead. So I think, you know, it just now, you're like you say, all about turnout, turnout, turnout.
And we actually are going to pick up a seat, we think, in Illinois. The Mark Kirk seat, we think, is going to be won by Dan Seals.
Oh,
who
awesome.
Is currently leading. And,
awesome.
He was up 13 points in the poll a couple weeks ago. And so we think he's going to be able to hold on and hold on. And we're all excited about that. We've got a little problem with Debbie Haverson. People need to make sure that they get engaged, be involved, that they really come out and vote in Debbie's district as well as in Melissa Bean's. And but Democrats are fired up right now.
Yep.
We are fired up in Illinois and ready to rock and roll.
Yep, exactly. We're not premature. We are fired up, and we will be ready to go at the appropriate moment.
well, we know what's on the line.
That's right.
It would change not only the way of thinking, but the way of life in our state if somehow or another. I mean, our gubernatorial election is even up. The governor and his opponent are neck and neck. And so we've got two that are right on the line.
That's right.
And it's a matter, I guess, of life and death. And we've just simply go out and make sure that the state of Illinois will have life.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Danny Davis, thanks so much for your time. A pleasure to have you. Please come back.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure indeed.
All right, there he
Bye-bye.
Goes. Congressman Danny Davis of the great state of Illinois. Yeah, Republicans are premature electolators. You know what? We're fired up, ready to go exactly at the right moment. We're going to come exactly when you're supposed to.
Oh.
To the polls.
Oh, dear.
Can I have my fine American music? Yeah, a good piece from Donna Brazile, who, you know, obviously ran Al Gore's campaign, is a pretty smart pundit.
Yes. Yes, she is.
She writes, the Democrats probably will lose seats. The party that controls the White House usually does in the midterm elections. But let's dispense of some myths. The country is not, quote unquote, disgusted with Democratic policies, as some media commentators wish we would believe. For instance, strong majorities favor a Medicare-style national health plan, even if they have to pay more for insurance, and even if the question is phrased with an insurance company bias, according to the latest Harris Interactive poll.
Hmm.
We keep saying this. Americans want a more liberal health plan.
Yes.
And that's, if you want to move that direction, you got to vote in more Democrats. Another Harris Interactive poll found Americans, quote, overwhelmingly supported the Democrats' efforts to tighten regulations on Wall Street. Secondly, you don't draw the kind of crowds, as I just mentioned, that Obama and Bill Clinton are drawing if there's a lack of enthusiasm. She talks about pivotal races all over the country are tightening, including Senate contests in Pennsylvania, Colorado, and Nevada. When Democrats can keep pace with Republicans' fundraising numbers, despite the help of their anonymous deep-pocketed financiers, there doesn't seem to be much of an enthusiasm gap. She makes a good point, Chris. Mm-hmm. Around the country, the fact that Democrats are able to compete means,
yes,
you know, again, her point basically is mine. I got your enthusiasm gap right here. Fourth, criticism
only
does
I don't think she's grabbing her crotch, as you do.
Yeah, right here. Fourth, criticism does not equal apathy. That many progressives and liberals are disappointed doesn't mean they won't come out and vote for Democratic candidates. What about all those angry Tea Partiers, though, you ask? The key word is angry. Angry people aren't enthusiastic. They're just angry. Anyway, so she, you know, as I mentioned to the congressman, she says she feels like she's watching the promo for a disaster mm-hmm. movie. And you do, because it makes for better graphics, right?
Yeah.
Shiny, whizzy graphics. Republican tsunami and Democratic bloodbath, wipeout, woo! Nipple tassels.
What?
I don't know. All right. I just threw something else in there to make it exciting.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, Danny Davis, delightful,
yeah.
Delightful. All right, I have an announcement. You know, it seems like I have a big personal announcement every week or so.
Are you coming out again?
No, I think I'm going back to questioning. I'm going from gay to questioning now.
Oh.
Because I saw Enrique Iglesias live last night. He could be my hero, really. Oh, my God. I can understand why Anna Kournikova sucks his face in public all the time, or used to, or whatever. I don't know who he's with, but oh, my God, is he cute.
Would you dance?
Oh, I hate this song. Oh, God.
Oh, see when he's right up in your face. Okay. I was at a...
I'm just glad he got that thing removed off his face. He was famous for that mole, that big, huge mole. But
he is beautiful.
What? Well, now he is.
What's that other song he does? The fast one. He was out in the crowd. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like it, I think.
I like it. That's
yeah.
it. I like it. Oh, we were dancing on the tables. It was a big benefit for TJ Martell Foundation, which is a great organization to fight breast cancer, AIDS, et cetera. Anyway, he was there. Charlie Daniels was there. He got an award. Kenny Loggins. And then Enrique. If I wore underwear, I would have thrown it at him. I'm just saying. I'm just saying I get it. Awesome.
I like this song.
I was dancing with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money for this.
Did he cop a feel?
Hmm? Why not? All right.
How does the lovely and talented Mrs. guy who owns the show...
She didn't see it.
Okay.
He is the president of the TJ Martell Foundation, and I'm very proud of him.
Yes.
We kid. We love our fearless leader who has failed to kill me for the life insurance money. But Ron Hardenbaugh,
going
we
on
love
7
you.
Years now, he's failed to kill you for the life insurance money.
He's not very good at it, thank
no.
God. But we love him and are very proud of him. He
yes.
put that whole huge event together last night. All right.
Well, how come he didn't offer us Enrique Iglesias for a booking?
I should speak to him about
you
that.
You really should.
Yeah, we did have our picture taken on the red carpet, but he basically had to ask them to, because it's not like they would have, because as you know, it would have been that humiliating thing where the photographers just stand there looking at me like, "What? Who's
yeah.
that? Why would we take her, huh?"
He should have listened to you. You know
okay.
your celebrity status more than he does.
He's like, okay, we need this picture, we'll send it to the radio trades, and it'll be good. All right. So I don't even make it into a radio paper. That'll really be the saddest thing.
Wait a minute.
Look at this picture of her on a red carpet. No, we don't care.
Didn't you just talk with Michael Harrison of Talkers Magazine?
Yes, I offered to sleep with him to get a cover on Talkers Magazine.
Did you sleep with him?
No, he didn't. He didn't bite.
Oh.
All right.
Well, now he won't
after.
Even print a picture from this fundraiser.
Maybe he will now that I've publicly shamed him. Okay. 20 minutes after the hour. Much more on the big midterms coming up Tuesday, everybody. Right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, you know how you guys like to mock me in L.A. for the weird things I bring in for breakfast?
Yeah.
So my New York mooks, Sean and Bob and Chris, I knew they would mock me. I tried to sneak this in here like it was crack.
What is it?
Guess what I'm eating this morning?
Mushu.
No, a lobster that Ed Schultz bought me.
God, you're weird.
I know. Oh. Like, are you eating a lobster? What's okay. left over?
No.
I can't afford lobster. Ed Schultz can.
Stephanie, lobster should never be left over.
Well, I took it home. Are you kidding me? I always ask for a doggy bag. I'm like, I'm not wasting this.
Would you do that for oysters or something?
What's that?
Would you do that for oysters?
No.
Well,
no,
lobster's
but it's
the
lobster.
Same. Lobster's the same thing.
I'm just a poor second-rate hack. I can't afford lobster. If Ed Schultz has taken me to dinner, I'm. Was that rude to order lobster? Ah, he doesn't care. All right. 27 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Yeah, but I did that microwave stink. I was kind of like, should I do this? It's kind of rude. Oh, well, screw it. I'm going back to L.A. tomorrow. I made a little bit of a stink.
You probably shouldn't cook any kind of seafood.
I'm not really a breakfast food person, so, yeah.
Well, they have pizza on every corner there.
I didn't have time. Okay. I was still drunk from last night.
Oh, boy.
From dancing with Enrique Iglesias.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Jose in Oakland.
Oh, don't say you're questioning. You know, I sent you this torchy postcard a couple months back, and just now it's going to bring me false hope. Anyway, shrug shoulders. My dad.
I just wanted to give the boys a little glimmer of hope this morning.
Yeah, my dad voted for your dad in 64. That's not why I'm calling, though. I'm looking at the polls in California, and I want to encourage everybody to vote. I'm pretty sure in the state of California, in some counties, you can even register to vote and cast a paper provisional. You might want to double-check that, but please get out and vote. If you don't like these people, like Fizzarina and Empress Nutmeg, get out there and do something about it.
Yeah, okay. All right. You know what? That's what I was hoping, Chris, is I don't know the percentage of people that, might have been in their little fit of pique or apathy and didn't register, you know, and now they're like, oh, I want to, but, I mean, I hope, you know what I mean? It's like, obviously, different precincts have different rules about, when you can register and vote and whatever, but if you can... Vote.
Yep, just be up to date on your local voting laws.
Yes. If you can do early by mail, do it. Dan and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, Mama and the Mooks. How's it going this morning?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I'm doing really well because I hear that things are neck and neck in my neck of the woods. And judging by the amount of landline calls that polling people are doing, they're not reaching me. I already voted. I have a cell phone, and everyone in my household has just cell phones.
Yep, exactly. At this point, don't believe any of it, the polling. Just get out and do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's neck and neck. Imagine how many people are beyond.
That's right. Thank you, honey. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with a 6-year-old who's going to the John Stewart rally next.
and David Eisenhower.
Yes.
I haven't done a single thing wrong in almost 24 hours. And I'm including sex last night. Here's
Stephanie Miller's
thank you note.
Oh, she likes that?
No, but she respects it when it's done correctly.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Have to take Malcolm in Chicago real quick. Why? Because he's 6.
Yeah.
Hi, Malcolm.
Hi.
Oh.
You're going to the John Stewart rally this weekend.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go to the John Stewart rally and to restore sanity. And I was wondering if Stephanie Miller would be there.
I will not be there this weekend. I'm sorry. I have to go back home to my doggies in L.A. But you will represent me there, all right?
Can you take a picture of them?
Yes, I will take a picture of them and send them to you. Miranda, get his email address. All right, thank you, Malcolm. You're going to save America, okay?
Okay.
Put him on hold. Don't drop him.
Terrific. Okay. Got him. Thank you. All right. send him a picture of Matt and Fred. Okay. All right. This is very exciting. So for any number of reasons, David Eisenhower, obviously President Eisenhower's grandson, he has co-authored a new book with Julie Nixon Eisenhower titled Going Home to Glory, A Memoir of Life with Dwight D. Eisenhower. David joins us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me.
What a timely time to have this conversation right before the midterms. I don't know if you know, but my dad was Bill Miller, who ran with Barry Goldwater in 1960.
No kidding. No kidding. And
yes.
Where are you based now, Stephanie?
I live in Los Angeles, but, you know, as you know, my house growing up was littered with pictures of my dad with Dwight Eisenhower.
Yes. Well, he was national chairman. In the early 1960s, and
that's right.
Was very, very distinguished, and I know he did ads after the 1964 campaign for American Express and things like this, sort of a forerunner
right.
of Bob Dole, so forth. Well, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. He yes, he did the very first. Do you know me? I ran for vice president, and I can't
that's
get
right.
served in a restaurant. But
yeah.
You know, you and I may disagree. I mean, I don't know your politics at all, but I know that Julie has said much the same that I've said, you know, in recent times, that this is just not my dad and Goldwater's party in my opinion, certainly not Eisenhower's party anymore.
Right.
I'm not certain your take on what's happened to the Republican Party and the Tea Party, but I'd love to hear it.
Well, I think the way I see it is that the Tea Party is a protest. You know, protest movements in this country do make a difference. I mean, they will change the direction of major parties and so forth, but I don't think that they historically America's found a way to include the protest and basically bring it into the mainstream. And so that is a process that we are or are not witnessing. I agree with you that the politics that we were raised on, that is going out and concentrating on winning elections and finding the center and coming up with practical approaches to public policy and so forth, seems to be right now something that is very difficult to discuss in a national campaign.
Well, David, I don't remember, you know, and again, you and I were both pretty young, you know, at the time, but certainly you just have a sense from what we do know that my dad, Eisenhower, you know, Goldwater, they were just a different kind of man than it appears to me to be populating the Republican Party today. I don't remember them calling each other bad Americans and the level of meanness that seems
to
have.
In fact, you know, the book that we have just put out, Going Home to Glory, which is about Dwight Eisenhower in his retirement years, 61 to 69, is a chronicle of a time when we entered this divisive phase, era, really, in American politics. That begins at the end of Dwight Eisenhower's life. The people that were in national politics before 1969 had at some level a concept of bipartisanship and sort of striking compromise and common ground and so on. I think
you have heard this, I'm sure, a lot of, you know, comparisons of Obama to Eisenhower. I mean, my premise has always been the Republican Party has moved so far to the right. Dwight Eisenhower would be considered a socialist today.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I mean, he's the one that warned of this military-industrial complex.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Obama, they say, has invoked the Eisenhower Doctrine with the Afghanistan,
about
willingness to impose limits on American might and money, you know, getting out of Korea, obviously.
That, you know, Miller and Goldwater and Eisenhower all had in common. I think they had some differences, but what they had in common is that they were conservative people, but then there is the qualification. The one thing that Dwight Eisenhower and that generation understood is that the government belongs to us. You know, the government has to listen to us because we all have a vote. The government belongs to us. It will not do to sort of abolish government, it can be a force for good. You know, there are instances where it is very needed. It was needed during the Depression. It is needed from time to time to correct markets. I think it was a different era, and I think one reason to revisit it in a book is to remind ourselves that American democracy, left to its own devices, will in time, I think, get just about everything pretty much right. I think free people exercising their franchise.
I think that's the case in many of these races where, you know, no matter how much money somebody's spending, you know, people are smart. I mean, like I say, in many cases, you know, you can't, no matter how much money you spend, cover up a bad candidate.
Stephanie, I've learned that lesson a long, long time ago. In fact, within the contours of this book we've just written, I was in the Julie's dad, the Nixon campaign in 1968, and there were a lot of campaigns out there that were in a position to outspend that campaign over and over and over again. And somehow that message got through, and a superior finance candidate, Nelson Rockefeller, did not get the Republican nomination. We've seen this repeated over and over again. I think that the infusion of money into campaigns is a very serious concern. I don't think campaign finance reform has worked since 75. It's so forth. But the good news is that if an underfinanced candidate can at least get his or her positions out there, voters tend to make up their own mind. So,
what would President Dwight Eisenhower think of Senator Christine O'Donnell, do you think?
Well, you know, it's...
Senator Sharon Angle, or I don't know. Let's pick somebody.
You know, I think, you know, in that situation, there's a question about qualifications. I think that, you know, without casting any aspersions or anything like that, I do think that there are certain things that you have to, certain skills you have to have in order to effectively promote an agenda. And so that's that race is happening near us back here in Philadelphia. We're watching it with interest.
I'll say. I want to hear family stories about driving with President Dwight Eisenhower.
This is a chronicle. Going Home to Glory is a chronicle of my teen years. Granddad is growing old. I'm growing up. And at the beginning of this story, he has left the White House. He's been restored to rank. He's a general, and he terrorizes the family by going out and getting a driver's license.
Oh boy!
He had not driven a car in about 25 years.
And oh boy!
So naturally, the state of Pennsylvania couldn't find a way to say no. So he's pronounced an excellent driver, and that means that I've got a ride with him to the golf course and back. And I talk about how he sort of leaned on horns and so forth to shush away tourists and so forth who had parked.
People had the audacity to get in the way of the general. I didn't realize that he was out driving.
In his way, so forth. He always had a reason for it. He could quote the manual. He learned the driver's manual by heart.
He didn't seem to realize when he was president they cleared the streets, but
that's right, and they did.
Yes.
And they most certainly did. And then 4 or 5 years later, I'm licensed. And so he becomes the passenger.
Oh,
and, of course, he supervised all that very carefully, too. He was somebody that was not convinced that his 16-year-old grandson was quite in the same league as the people who had driven him around. That's one of the little sort of turnarounds in that book. As I say, I grow up and he's growing older, and we had a wonderful relationship.
Aw. You even talk about personal things like his television preferences. What did he watch on television?
Well, he liked... really, he liked Westerns. He was a Westerner. People miss this about Eisenhower because of his career in Europe and things like this, but he's from Kansas, and Kansas is really pointed more westward than it is eastward. So he loved Western stories, and that is about it. He had one movie favorite, and this would resonate in Southern California. His movie favorite, run over and over again for him by his projectionist, was Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, wow.
And I saw that movie with him at least 7 times. His projector Sergeant Boney claims that he ran it privately for Dwight Eisenhower 38 times. I think that might be a slightly exaggerated number. But Angels in the Outfield is this sentimental, beautiful love story. And it's centered around a ball club, and it inspired the California Angels in 2002. And in fact, when our daughter Jenny was born in 1978, we were living in Southern California at the time. I'll never forget the night she was born. The word was relayed to Anaheim, and you know, welcome to the world, Jenny, the youngest angel. So we've always felt a connection with the Angels and so forth, because Granda did. He loved this sentimental story of a gruff manager, a cheerful and attractive but naive young reporter, and an orphan coming together to form a family.
That must be like being a Cubs fan almost, an Angels fan. I'm sorry about that.
It is. Well, that's right.
And I have to say, the most charming part of this entire story is just hearing someone's projectionist.
Yeah.
Now you're dating both of us. I'm like,
that's right.
I remember having a projectionist.
Exactly. They had this film, and it took minutes and minutes and minutes to load it.
Right.
And,
yes, and then you got to call the IT guy. It would flip off the reel.
Now you can watch it on a telephone. It's unbelievable.
That's right.
You know,
yeah,
thing that Granda could see in this period in the 60s, this technology became a kind of runaway horse during World War II, and it just continues to innovate and innovate and innovate. And he tried to keep pace. He was interested in technology, had to be as a general, but I think he'd be amazed.
What was his projectionist's name again?
Sergeant John Mooney. And,
I just love that. I don't know why.
Yeah, he had been his valet during the North African campaign in World War II, again during Overlord. Sergeant Mooney is a fellow that I knew and loved. In fact, our relationship is kind of centered in this book. And, you know, he was with Dwight Eisenhower at all times. And ran the movies. He ran movies for me.
Did he carry the nuclear football?
No, he didn't. No, that was usually somebody of at least captain rank.
Right. All right.
So.
The book is chock full of charming personal anecdotes like that. The book is Going Home to Glory, A Memoir of Life with Dwight D. Eisenhower. David, what a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thank
and good
you,
luck
Stephen.
With the book.
Wonderful.
All right. Okay. Talk to you soon. There he goes, David Eisenhower.
Wow.
I'm sure you know my projectionist, Sergeant Mooney. I just love that story.
My dad was our family projectionist.
Carried the nuclear foot. Oh, is that the new? Oh, it's Gone with the Wind.
Sorry.
I brought the wrong suitcase, too. Okay. 47. It's the wrong reels.
Yeah. My dad was our family projectionist. If we had a
Do
movie.
Do you think he had an IT guy, too, or Sergeant Mooney knew how to fix it when it was like... damn it.
Now, back then,
the projector broke down again.
Back then, you had to know how to fix it.
You did not well. Exactly. You didn't want to tick off General Eisenhower, for God's sake.
No, most certainly.
48 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free. I think you're right. It was best we didn't bring up the other fun fact with David Eisenhower.
Well, what?
But I did not know that.
Yes.
Fortunate Son was written about David Eisenhower.
That's right.
And Camp David was named after him.
Yes.
Who knew?
He's proud of the Camp David part.
Yes.
He's not so proud of the Fortunate Son part.
I choose to believe it's about George W. Bush.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's go. Let's go to Stephanie and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to just talk to Wisconsin for just a moment. But it's,
Wisconsin! Stephanie calling.
Wisconsin, it's for you.
Yes. If they're not enthusiastic to vote, I'm going to throw them a bone here. We have have a medical marijuana question on our ballot, which maybe might be an incentive.
Throw me a frickin' bone here.
And another thing, man, you know, it's not just Feingold's race. It's our governor. We have this asshat Walker that's like a teabagger, and he's just a nutcase.
Oh, I know. No, listen, you know what, you can vote for, you don't have to vote for hope, you can vote for fear in Wisconsin, because listen to me, Wisconsin, now that we have you on the line, I will come and slap each and every one of you if my future husband, Russ Feingold, does not win.
Exactly, and the other,
so there.
One more point, really big, is if people vote for the Green Party, I just have one word, gore. I mean,
yes.
That is not what you need to do right now. We need to get all the Democrats in, and for God's sakes, if we have another Republican governor, all of our programs like Badger Care, which is for low income people,
yep.
He's going to just he's going to take that away. So,
yep. Stephanie, you and I just gave Madison, we just gave Wisconsin a talking to, and I think
so. You know, get in there, vote, and vote yes. For medical marijuana.
Yes, exactly. All right, honey. All right. Perhaps you didn't get a leprechaun that farts gold dust. But what I'm...
I'd rather have a unicorn that farts glitter.
Me too, really.
I mean, you could do more with that. What can you do with a leprechaun that farts gold dust?
Exactly. Well, for Republicans, you're going to get a leprechaun that farts gold coins from Goldline. That crappy outfit that Glenn Beck...
I want gold coins from ITM Trading.
Thank you. So do I. Okay, let's go. Let's go to John in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Oh. John.
Is he bleeping me? Why is he bleeping me, John?
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm fine.
Hey, I just wanted to rehash the health deal. I'm an independent, and the reason why, a lot of us in physicians, I'm married to a physician. The reason why they're having such a hard time with this program is that they want to do the right thing, but the reimbursement scheduling for their specialty are like sometimes in the case 30, 40, in some cases 60% less of what they're having. So basically what they're all saying and telling me is that, because I keep the books, is that what we're going to do, we're going to take our 10% of what we have to take care of Medicare or Medicaid, we're going to take that, we're going to fill up as much as we can, and then once that's done, then we're going to go private pay. So the people who need the care the most are going to be on the outskirts. And not to mention that since we're adding more people, we need to add more doctors. And there's no programs for that. There's no incentives for that. So the smarter kids actually go into different fields. And I want to see if you had...
John, what's your point exactly?
My point is, how are we going to achieve what we want, ultimately the best care that the world has ever seen? How do we do that?
And no one we do what, as I just mentioned, this poll, this Harris poll that Donna Brazile was quoting, it mentions that most Americans want health care that is much more liberal than what we have now. And we could move toward that if we put in more Democrats. We could move toward, fixing what doesn't work and moving forward. If you get Republicans in there, all they're going to do is try to defund and repeal. I mean, they've told you what they're going to do. Nothing. We're going to go backwards on health care. Let's go to Bernard in Jacksonville, Florida, real quick. Hi, Bernard.
Yes.
Yes. Hello, Bernard.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I thought you sat on your phone by accident. Okay, go ahead.
No. Only thing I was wanting to say was the Tea Party people are angry because of different reasons why regular Americans are angry. We're all mad because of jobs and stuff like that there, but the Tea Party, they're just mad about a black man being in office, it seems.
Exactly. It's like, yes, of course they're mad. There's a black guy in the White House. You can't see what's wrong with that.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
You're an idiot. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Zach Carter at the Campaign for America's Future to talk about campaign finance and the midterms as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well,
Welcome to it. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Oh, he's getting his headphones.
All right, then. Let's hear the president on The Daily Show last night.
You ran on very high rhetoric, hope and change. And the Democrats this year seem to be running on, please, baby, one more chance.
Now, when the economy is growing, but is still not growing as fast as it needs to make up for the 8 million jobs that were lost.
Right.
Yep. Folks are going to be frustrated.
Yes. Anyway, he was great. Got to quote a Krugman piece and a Thomas Friedman piece on all of that on the economy, on how, you know, they all agree, even people that knew the stimulus, like Jim Ward, should have been much bigger. Say we cannot go back. Right. These policies that got us there. We just cannot. All right. By the way, speaking of this caller on the health care, though, we didn't get this. Give me my fine American music. Julie in Seattle, a fine American. By the way, Yertle, Mitch McConnell, here's what you'll get if you put Yertle and Tom Coburn and the like in. Senate Republicans should repeatedly offer bills to repeal health reform, even if it's in vain, Senator Tom Coburn said this week. So that's what they're going to do with their with all the problems facing the country. They're just, even though they know that's all they're going to spend their time doing.
Make everything worse.
Yes. Coburn acknowledged efforts to repeal the legislation or even defund it were unlikely to be successful as long as President Obama's in the White House, but said repeated efforts to dismantle the legislation is the best political strategy for the GOP.
Great.
They're telling you what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to waste your time with even more ridiculousness and obstructionism and ridiculous investigations and God knows what all. I think the best strategy is to call for a repeal bill and pass that bill, Coburn said. And if you can't pass it the first time, then offer it. Then again the next month, again the next month, and again and again and again. Thank
is
you,
this
Tom
really
Coburn,
what they want?
For telling us what an asshat you're going to be. If you think we're asshats now, if you put more of us in, check this out.
Is this really what Republicans want? Is that, leadership for them?
Yes.
Just, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, that's leadership.
All right.
Let's to get to Zach Carter. Is at the he's a fellow, you know.
Yes.
He's not just at. He's a fellow at the Campaign for America's
not
Future.
Not just a dude. He's a fellow.
No, exactly. He also writes a blog on campaign finance for the Media Consortium. He is an alternate economics. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He is also Alternate's economics editor and a frequent contributor to The Nation magazine, one of our very favorites. Zach joins us now. Hi, Zach.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, sir. Well, you know, you have a piece about campaign cash, how the Citizens United will change elections forever. I mean, this is exactly what the president said was going to happen, isn't it?
It is. I think it was pretty easy to see when the Supreme Court issued the ruling, though.
Yeah. Well, you say, worst of all, we may never know the extent of the damage. Corporations are already capitalizing on the new legal landscape by the millions, and the public doesn't really know who's buying what influence or why. I mean,
Let me emphasize, listeners can follow all of this at themediaconsortium.org and at ourfuture.org. It's the campaign cash blog. You can also follow the conversation on Twitter at the hashtag #PoundCampaignCash.
Right.
But the big problem with Citizens United is not just that it unleashes unlimited amounts of corporate cash into the electoral process. It's that it does it in secret. It allows corporations to spend money on specific elections, promoting or decrying individual candidates. But provided they do this through a front group, the groups never have to disclose who their donors are. The donors never have to disclose that they gave the money to the front groups. So we just never know how much money and where the money is coming from.
Well, and you say also the scariest part is the money that isn't spent, that if a firm just makes it known they're willing to spend millions of dollars to fight any politician that opposes them on some issues, they may change their behavior before the company even has to spend the money, right?
Yeah,
just the fear of them spending the money.
Right, it's the point that Lawrence Lessig, a Harvard University professor, made. If a corporation just makes it known they're going to run, a multi-million dollar hit ad on anybody who opposes a certain policy, then the money never gets spent. The politician is just very careful to avoid that policy, and so the threat of action is enough to actually keep things the way the corporations want them.
You know, Zach, I was reading a story the other day that reminds me of this, and I thought, like, what chance of any actual democracy happening is there becoming? I was reading the story back on the climate bill that, Lindsey Graham was terrified that Fox News was going to report he was negotiating or he was even talking to Democrats about climate change. I mean, and this is, like you say, this injects fear, whether it's, you know, that they, you know, corporations are going to do something that they are or that they already are.
Well, and Fox News is very much a part of the corporate spending spree here. Rupert Murdoch has given $1 million not just to the Republican Party, but also to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is a front group for the largest corporations in America and many very large corporations around the world. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is going to use that money has been using that money to run attack ads on Democrats and to promote Republicans. 93% of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's activity here has been in support of Republican candidates. So Fox News is very much part of the problem here. The good news is that there is a very vibrant independent media in the United States, which is covering this story. So people are aware of what is going on, and you can keep yourself informed at least. But the threat to democracy is clear.
Yeah, well, Zach, I mean, and that's another important point that you make. And Chris, you've made this point that this is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It has
right.
nothing to do with the local small business coalitions who actually, you know, help strengthen local economies. You say 40% of the U.S. Chamber's 2008 funding came from just 26 corporations. They represent many of the nation's largest and most irresponsible corporations, from the, you know, those responsible for the financial meltdown on Wall Street to BP.
Yeah, it's a very, very clever trick. You think of a Chamber of Commerce, and you think of you know, the groups in your town that help support the local economy.
It's
or
your
you know,
local
you
neighborhood
map.
Hardware store. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Exactly. But that's not what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is at all. It's a way for corporations to anonymously attack policies that they don't want to see happen. So BP can go out and say, hey, we really want to, you know, pay for the cleanup of this horrible oil catastrophe. And then the Chamber of Commerce, which the Chamber of Commerce very did explicitly went out and said this, they don't think that they should change the rules that the government needs to pay for.
Well,
for
how infuriating, right, is that for, you know, the people that didn't get, you know, made whole in the Gulf there because they're funneling money to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to make sure that they don't have to pay for the cleanup.
Yeah. And we don't know how much money BP is sending to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We know that they are a member and that they pay dues. But, I mean, clearly there are other oil interests as well who want to see this this mess dumped on
right.
the taxpayers rather
and some
than
people,
the corporate coffers.
Some people are trying to mitigate the damage, like my future husband, Russ Feingold, who's in a tough race in Wisconsin, and Chris Van Hollen. Tell us about that, because you say, you know, without Congress acting at least to somewhat mitigate this. Tell us about that act and what the chances
right.
are.
Right. Well, I mean, the secrecy here is a big issue. There are a lot of things that people have the right to do legally that they won't do in public where people can see them. And so I think exposing who is spending what money where is very important. The Supreme Court did leave room right. for Congress to regulate that. So that's what the Disclose Act is all about. This is an act that passed the House this year but was held up by a Republican filibuster in the Senate. But it would just require these front groups to disclose who their donors are and how much they're spending, and require, you know, corporations to list any political expenditures. So everybody would know what was going on. And that would limit some of the fallout from the ruling. It would not completely eliminate the trouble. The corporations could still go and spend the money if they have no shame, but at least there would be the power of shame.
Well, yeah, it's like I always say, the way people behave in their cars.
Right.
They never really behave that way face-to-face. But exactly. When you think for some reason you're invisible, or, you know, or like you say on the Internet, I mean, it's just when we talk about these bullying issues or whatever, it really is the same thing, isn't it? When people think they're anonymous and nobody, you know, can see what they're doing, it's so that makes, you know, just common sense to me.
Yeah, it creates trouble. Or this can help mitigate some of the trouble. One thing to remember, though, is that it's not like our democracy was totally free from undue corporate influence before Citizens United. A lot of the really nasty things that we think of when we think of you know, improper relationships between corporations and government all occurred well before this ruling took place. The Wall Street bailout, you know, even things with BP. These policies were in place for years, and it didn't. Citizens United didn't create this problem overnight. It's just made it much worse, and you can see that with the spending going on right now.
Zach, I mean, the one thing that gives me some hope, I have to say, is the amount of money that the Meg Whitmans and the you know, Linda McMahons are spending of their Carly Fiorina's of their own money that doesn't seem to be working. I mean, you know, but like Bill Clinton says, it seems like most of the time the American people get it right.
Well, it depends. I mean, these self-financed candidates are very interesting. But remember, there's an enormous amount of money that pours into every election
from
all over the place. Bob Perry, the billionaire behind the John Kerry Swift boating campaign in 2004, is at it again. He's just pledged $7 million to a group run by Karl Rove, and we don't know how much else he's pledged to other more secretive organizations.
You know, I don't understand. I think, as you sort of point out, Zach, in your piece, like, why can't we just treat this like nuclear disarmament? Doesn't that sort of benefit everybody to get all this money out of politics? Like, just as you said, you know, you can't give over $100 to a candidate, period. Just
right.
Takes all the, you know.
Right. What's so controversial about that? And the answer is that the corporations don't like that. When you have the ability to spend unlimited amounts on political voice, essentially, that benefits people who actually have unlimited amounts to spend. If you're not super right. rich, you can't give $7 million to Karl Rove.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, as much as we'd like to. Zach Carter he's basically from everywhere. He,
yeah.
If you read anything on the internet, he probably wrote it.
But you can read it all at the Media Consortium.
Yep, yes. You can read it on themediaconsortium.org, ourfuture.org, and you can follow on Twitter at the hashtag #PoundCampaignCash.
Yep.
All right. You just can say consortium, right, because, you know, you work for it. All right. at the Campaign for America's Future as well. Zach, thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. Talk to you soon. There he goes. Consortium.
I don't think I've ever had a consortium.
Consortium? What's a consortium?
I didn't say consortium.
Yeah, you kind of did.
You two try talking as much as I do and don't stumble. You're a consortium of idiots. All right. 17 minutes after the
it's
hour.
Idiots. Yeah, your IOTS.
And I'm not calling you Nazis. Come on.
All right.
You're a bunch of rich IOTS. 17 minutes after the hour, right back with more of the President on the Daily Show as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm. So happy. It is me, Stephanie.
Makes me think of microwave lobster.
Mm. How was what's
that smell?
You guys are lucky I'm in L.A. or I'm in New York this week.
Yeah.
You didn't get the stinky microwave food
the
in
whole
LA.
Thing stinks like a whorehouse at low tide.
It did. It did stink like a whorehouse at low tide.
Yeah, several friends of mine said that sounds absolutely revolting.
It was delicious.
I don't want to be around you when it comes out, you know. Wow.
Crustacean for breakfast. Mm.
Well, no, two-day-old leftover crustacean.
It was delicious.
That's the revolting part.
And the studio will smell of two-day-old lobster for weeks.
I'm afraid we're going to be smelling the effects of it.
Let's hope that doesn't cause any gastrointestinal distress in time for the big gala tonight.
Oh, no.
We're going to be meeting Mayor Bloomberg, Ted Olson, at the big, you know, fancy thing.
Yeah.
For the Foundation for Equal Rights.
Wear brown pants, is all I'm saying. Like the old joke said.
All right. All our good friends from the No On Prop 8 thing will be there tonight, so Mom will have some stories tomorrow.
Nah.
Oh, speaking of which, you know I've been getting if I wore panties, they'd be in a twist over the whole, in particular, I mean, there are lots of groups, but in particular, gay people going, I'm mad, I'm not voting, I'm voting Republican, I'm voting Green, I don't,
really
blah.
That's really dumb. That is dumb.
Julie in Seattle writes, hi there, Mom. I heard a bit of the show. Thought it might be a good idea to remind the Obama hates gay people callers claiming they're gay but want to vote for Greens or the stinking low-life, mud-sucking, country-wrecking, unrepentant followers of Jim No-Gay Teachers Dimwit and Yertle, my job is to get my GD lettuce back, F all the rest he is, McConnell, for a few fun facts about the not-so-happy future ahead, if you go with that. Number one, first, no one believes you're really a gay Democrat who thinks Obama hates gay people. Freeper Frack getting paid 50 cents per call to liberal shows and annoy and discourage decent Americans with your fake opinions. Number two, if you really are gay and you really think helping Republicans get their grubby mitts back on the U.S. Congress is the way to go, you might want to start sewing the pink triangles on your clothing because
exactly.
If the GOP wrecks the next 2 years, you're going to have a great deal more to worry about than whether you can come out in the military or get married in Alabama, and you won't be the only ones whose lives are destroyed because of your childish fit of pique. In the meantime, here's another thing the Obama administration is doing to protect the rights of LGBT Americans. LBGT. BLT Americans. You know what I'm
LGBT.
Saying. Exactly.
Yes.
I'm questioning now because of...
well, then add a Q to that,
Enrique
too.
Iglesias. Who I saw live last night.
He didn't stick his tongue down your throat, so why are you questioning now?
He came close. He went table to table.
Oh, God.
The Department of Education, which, by the way, slated for elimination if the bagger set gets in, is issuing guidelines to schools that classify anti-gay bullying as a violation of the Title IV of the Civil Rights Act, which means the department can sue schools that fail to prevent bullying of students based on their gender or perceived gender identification and plan to do so. Julie in Seattle, thank you. With just another round. Or you could have more people in, like Clint McCants, on your school boards.
And he's with...
A Midland school board member from Arkansas. Did you hear about this?
Oh,
have you been on the Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was reacting to Spirit Day that we had, when was that, last week, that encouraged people to wear purple in honor of young gay youth lives who've been lost to suicide to raise awareness of the bullying behaviors that contributed to these deaths. McCants wrote, and I quote directly from Facebook, "Seriously, they want me to wear purple because five queers committed suicide? The only way I'm wearing it is for them is if they all commit suicide. I can't believe the people of this world have gotten this stupid. We're honoring the fact that they sinned and killed themselves because of their sin? Really, people?"
Mm-hmm. How long before he is photographed with a rent boy?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. He hasn't been heard from or seen since.
There already has been a Facebook page set up calling for McCants' removal, unless that's the type of person you want on your local school board.
Maybe someone got into McCants' pants. The pants of McCants.
He responded to some of the other commenters. As you can imagine, Chris, there were some comments on his thoughts.
Yes, there were.
He responded to the commenters on his original post by further writing, no, because being a... See, I never know the right word. I guess I can't say the F word for gay man.
Yes.
He said, no, because being an F word for gay man doesn't give you the right to ruin the rest of our lives. If you get easily offended by being called an F word, then don't tell anyone you're an F word for gay man. Keep that blank to yourself. I don't care how people decide to live their lives. Oh, don't you like how they try to throw in that fake tolerance thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you can do it. Oh, I'm a live and let live kind of person. They
live
don't bother me
die.
If they keep it to themselves. It pisses me off even though we make a special purple F word for gay man day for them. I like that F word can't procreate. I also enjoy the fact that they often give each other AIDS and die. If you aren't against it, you might as well be for it. I would disown my kids if they were gay.
Oh, dear.
Boy, what a treat it must be to be his child.
Yeah.
They would not be welcome at my home or in my vicinity. I will absolutely run them off. Of course, my kids will know better. My kids will have solid Christian beliefs. See, it infects everybody.
Mm. Was he ever an altar boy by any chance? I kind of sense their little history there.
And he has not been heard from or seen since all of
this. Well, this is exactly what I said, you know, is that you knew there were these bottom crawlers that were saying this kind of stuff. It's like Tony Perkins said it yesterday. You know, I mean, it's just people. Oh, they're hateful. And I don't even have the stomach to do the... Psycho. He is a psycho. That's the problem.
He is a psycho.
That, and when Jim does that, now I'm going to go, yes, that is the guy. The psycho. Yes.
No, mother, no. Blood. Norman, get out of the bathroom. Give someone else a chance. Let him are you doing in the shower?
Not that guy. The family wizard.
Yeah, I know.
Homophobe.
Yeah,
well, he is psycho.
Yes. Who is a psycho as well. All right. And likely has stabbed someone in the shower. I'm just going to say.
Some people say.
Some say. 29 minutes to the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I've been on the toilet so long that my legs had fallen asleep. So when I tried to stand, I just fell into my throw up.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Ooh, some breaking tea and then he news this morning. Cub reporter Chris Lavoie.
It looks like Joe Miller has fallen into third place in the race for senator from Alaska.
Ted! Guys and girls, go, darn it!
And McAdams is only 5 points behind.
Yes, Murkowski is in the lead with 34%. Democrat Scott McAdams with 29%, and Miller with 23%.
I believe a lot of that is due to Senator Mark Baggage on the Stephanie Miller Show encouraging people to go to scottmcadams.org and to talk about what a fine candidate Scott McAdams is up there in Alaska. Okay. He, and then he. Okay, I'm just guessing. There was some, you know, some throwing of things in the Palin residence.
Dad! Dad, don't! Get it!
Okay.
That wasn't my fault. I don't know. I don't understand. What'd I do?
I think she even picked up a snow machine and threw it.
I think she threw a snow machine.
Throw a snow machine at Todd.
All right. The president was on the Daily Show last night.
We have passed historic health care reform, historic financial regulatory reform. We have done things that some folks don't even know about.
What have you done that we don't know about?
Well,
are you planning a surprise party for us?
Can I have my guess the quote music? Yes, echoing what's been done or not done and what we should do. Who said, I confess I find it dispiriting to read the polls and see candidates, mostly Republicans, leading in various midterm races while promoting many of the very same ideas that got us into this mess. Am I hearing right? Let's have more tax cuts unlinked to any specific spending cuts while we're still fighting two wars, because that worked so well during the Bush years to make our economy strong and our deficit small. Let's immediately cut government spending instead of phasing cuts in gradually while we're still mired in a recession, and because that worked so well in the Great Depression. Let's roll back financial regulation because we've learned from experience that Wall Street can police itself and average Americans will never have to bail it out. Who said that, Jim?
Milton Friedman.
No, that was a good guess, though, because it was Thomas Friedman, and you brought that in the New York Times. Can't keep a bad
Ron
idea
Friedman.
Down.
Mm-hmm.
Who said, let's have no limits on corporate campaign spending so oil and coal companies can more easily and anonymously strip the EPA of its powers to limit pollution in the air our kids breathe? Let's discriminate against gays and lesbians who want to join the military and fight for their country. Let's restrict immigration, because after all, we don't live in a world where America's most important competitive advantage is its ability to attract the world's best brains. Let's repeal our limited health care reform rather than see what works and then fix it. Let's oppose the free trade system that made us rich. Who said that?
Kinky Friedman.
No. What another spectacular guess, in that it's Thomas Friedman in the New York Times. Can't keep a bad idea. All right. John Stewart and the president.
Legislatively, it has felt timid at times, that I'm not even sure at times what you want out of a health care bill.
And this is, John, I love your show.
Oh, but, very
but,
kind of you.
Yeah. But this is something where, I have a profound disagreement with
right.
you, and I don't want to lump you in with a lot of other pundits. But this notion... This notion that health care was timid, this is what I think most people would say is as significant a piece of legislation as we've seen in this country's history.
Yeah, and that's the thing. How can all of those things be true? That it's a socialist, communist takeover of government takeover of health care and
watered down.
Why is the right so upset about it if it's so timid, you know? All right, John Stewart and Obama, one more.
So you wouldn't say you'd run this time as a pragmatist. You would not. It wouldn't be, yes, we can, given certain conditions.
I think what I would say is, yes, we can.
But it's not going to
happen overnight.
it doesn't scan as well.
So he would run as a pragmatist.
Yep.
Well, he did run as a pragmatist, is all I'm saying. And he ran as a centrist, didn't he?
A pragmatist is not a centrist. A pragmatist is someone who sees the situation for what it is. And
well, he didn't get a bunch of Hopi changers in there with him. He got a bunch of obstructionist asshats is the problem. And despite, in my opinion, unparalleled outreach to the other side.
Which is, I think...
I think he might have set...
Yeah, that's the one thing he can get rid of now, is the outreach to the other side, I think. Yes.
Yeah, I think he might have set expectations a little bit too high, and as evidenced by what he said to John Stewart last night.
Mm-hmm. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary, and why he went on the Daily Show.
You've got a constituency of younger voters that that watch that show, and it's a good place to go and reach them.
You know, Chris, it seems that there's some people that have a nice young audience as well and are called an Obama apologist daily, and yet apparently I'm no Tom Joyner.
This election is just as important as 2008 because it's going to determine how well I can move my agenda forward over the next 2 years.
Tom Joyner? What? I don't understand.
He's reaching a certain audience with the Tom Joyner
show. So am I.
Oh.
We're going to have to take some active steps to drive down unemployment. And that just is not on the agenda of my Republican friends. I mean, what they've said is their only priority is, right now, cutting taxes for folks who make more than $250,000 a year.
All right. So the president, rousing the base on obviously a bunch of different avenues, except for ours. All right. Not that I'm bitter. I remain a happy, clappy
Obama. We had Kathleen Sebelius yesterday. We're most likely
going to
have Arne Duncan tomorrow. So,
okay.
The White House is calling, just not the White House.
The next time the White House is calling, all right, never mind.
It's a White House. It's not necessarily the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the White House.
Mm-hmm. I understand. All right. Oh, by the by, I've been getting a lot of these letters. We were talking about gay folks sitting this out when so much is at stake. Let's see. Rob writes, Steph, what's the buzz with Gold's Gym in L.A. since their CEO donated $2 million to right-wing causes? Four of the San Francisco Gold say they will allow their franchise participation to lapse.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you are still a member.
I'm a member of Gold's Gym, yes.
Yes.
And I will remain a member of Gold's Gym because... Because here's the way that the operation works. Gold's Gym, the corporation, is held by a holding company, and it's been held by different holding companies throughout its history. And this particular holding company that owns it now, the CEO of that gave $2 million of his own personal money to Karl Rove's organization. It has absolutely nothing to do with each individual franchisee.
Gym's franchises in San Francisco will leave after 22 years following the revelation that the owner of Gold's gave $2 million to American Crossroads, the conservative outfit that is funding candidates who are unfriendly to gay rights.
Right. But, you know, my local Gold's Gym has been very friendly to LGBT causes over the years. And so I'm happy with the service I get from them. I'm happy with their outreach to the gay community. So I will remain with this particular Gold's Gym.
I wonder if this guy knows how many of the clientele of Gold's Gym are, in fact, have the gay on them.
Yes, are that way.
Yeah.
Yes. It does not seem like a wise business move, if nothing else.
Yeah. But you know, admittedly, I'm not much of a boycotter or a fists across America kind of person.
Well,
so.
I have principles, and you know what that means. I'm going to Yas in L.A. now. That's where I go, just to stand on principle, and because it's a fabulous place,
you
yoga and spinning.
You did not quit Gold's Gym because of this.
We can't talk about why.
Don't come on. Stop that right now.
No, it actually lapsed. My membership was up when I moved to New York. And now that I'm back, I am going to spin with the fine Americans at Yas, yoga and spinning, which is fabulous.
Why they pronounce the word so funny there at Yas?
Several locations in the Los Angeles area.
Is it run by Borat?
Fabulous.
Is it run by Borat? That they call it
given
Yas?
Not one dime to Karl Rove, so there.
But
all
you
right.
did not quit Gold's Gym because
don't
of this fracas.
Why I'm
You let it lapse a while ago before all of this even.
There are certain people it is awkward to run into. All right, let's go to Dave in San Francisco.
You might find the Kim Jong-il at the squat machine. That's why you read it rips.
Dave in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks. Listen, I love you guys. And you know, as a gay man, I got to tell you, I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling because, you know, the argument that things will get so much worse, I got to tell you, doesn't resonate when your partner is about to be deported. It doesn't resonate when you know people who've been kicked out of the military. It doesn't resonate with me because I have to leave the country to be with my partner. My partner can't come here. And I went through the video of the HRC debate back during the primaries when all the Democratic candidates were being questioned by the HRC on gay rights issues. And Obama did promise. He did promise. He didn't just say he'd work on it. He said he'd get it done. And
what, don't ask, don't tell?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean, don't ask, don't tell?
I'm not, you know, don't ask, don't tell, DOMA, gay inclusive immigration, and obviously for me.
I know, but Dave, I would ask you that he will get it done. We are 2 years in with an incredibly obstructionist Republican side here. I mean, you know, they're the ones that are fighting this.
I understand that, but for 2 years, Barack Obama.
Watch one more video for me. Watch the president's video for it gets better. Okay.
I did see it, and I made one of the first videos, and
I made one too. So there.
And yours was fantastic, by the way.
Oh, thank you, honey.
But here's the thing: I have to leave the United States to have life.
Well, that sucks.
So, and of course, it sucks. So, just telling me that it's all going to get really crappy for the rest of you left behind doesn't resonate with me. So what I need to hear from the Democrats, what I need to hear from Harry Reid, what I need to hear from the president, what I need to hear from Joe Biden is, I'm sorry, we couldn't get it done. And we're not going to be able to get it done unless. I want to hear the pragmatism. I want to hear him admit that, yeah, I promised you and I didn't deliver.
Well, Dave, I think first of all, they showed that right before these midterms with the don't ask, don't tell vote. Solid wall of Republican obstructionism. Again, they tried to get it done. You know, and as the president has said, and many legal experts have said to me, you have got to change it permanently through an act of Congress, and that's what the president has always said. But, you know, Dave, don't lose hope now. I mean, seriously, did you hear me? Talk about this school board member's, anti-gay rant on Facebook? But they're echoing Republican leaders that are saying things like that. So,
Stephanie, I know exactly where you come from. I have stood face to face with Fred Phelps, and we screamed at each other until we were hoarse.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's very hard for me when, in basically 6 weeks, I leave the United States. I leave a great job. I leave my family. I leave all my friends. Why? Because the person who is the love of my life, the person who is my husband, can't live here. Because the United States taxes me like a full citizen, but treats me like a second-class citizen.
Yep.
Dave, wait
a minute. Just let's go back, because I don't know whether this is more of an immigration concern or more of a his being deported, does that have to do with being gay or his immigration?
Well, because there is no federal recognition of same-sex couples for immigration purposes. I can't sponsor my spouse. My sister is married to delightful.
Right, but what I'm saying, Dave, is a lot of what you're personally experiencing is our broken immigration system, not that all of our gay rights problems aren't fixed. I mean, I understand it's a combination of the two.
This is a gay rights issue, Stephanie. It's the United Families Act. And the United American Families Act would fix that. And, there are 41,000 same-sex couples in the United States facing the same situation.
Right, but Dave, we can't give up. What I'm saying, then get active. And, when you give money to Democrats or when you vote, you tell them why. It's for this, and stand up for me, because I stood up for you. That's all I think we can do. But I'm so sorry for your personal situation. That it friggin' sucks.
Yeah.
And it's why we cannot rest, and we got to get out and vote on Tuesday. All right, 47 minutes. Sorry we ran out of time there, Dave. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know how right-wingers think all liberal radio is French and gay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the French part.
Mm-hmm. Aaron is calling from Paris. Good morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Bonjour, or is it bonsoir?
Bonjour.
Bonsoir.
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 Quelle heure est-il à Paris?
I'm actually calling because I've been listening for you guys for a long time, and I've listened to a bunch of your callers, you guys were talking about the threat of corporate action stopping politicians and all that stuff. I'm sitting in a country where the politicians are more afraid of the political actions of high school students than American politicians seem to be of the entire progressive left.
Yep.
And it's very, very amazing that the progressives haven't won nothing at all. The real problem really is the progressives in America. They just don't ever win anything because they don't ever take to the streets. It's all about money.
But we just had a Democratic landslide. We got a president and a Democratic majority, and we'll wait and see what happens on Tuesday.
So
what do you mean we don't win anything?
You you have had no effectiveness at all whatsoever. You can win all the elections we want, Brad Blog, you know. But the thing is this. We would all accept that Al Gore is a fairly responsible person, right? His stance on global warming. He asked for nonviolent civil disobedience, and you guys were all, I'm sure, for fixing global warming. But what actions have you personally done when it comes to nonviolent civil disobedience? Any of them?
What? I'm confused. What have I done personally about global warming?
Yes.
I mean, we all try. I mean, obviously, on a personal levels, we all try to be as environmentally conscious as we can here and recycle. But you're right.
Gore asked for the American people to have nonviolent civil disobedience. He's a responsible person.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Meaning what? What should we have done?
In France,
what should we have done?
High school students.
But
what could you have done?
There were war protests during the Bush administration.
Lots of them.
But they just weren't covered by the media. And a lot of them were just rounded up and arrested.
It's about economics, right? Business and politics is only money.
If it's not seen on TV, it didn't happen in America.
That's
the problem.
That's exactly.
If you have an impact on stock prices, who cares if it's seen on the media? The legal obligation for corporations is to guarantee profits, have an impact on their profit margin.
You know, Aaron, I get what you're saying, but it's a lot easier to strike and have, you know, an influence on corporations in France than it is in a much bigger country like the United States of America.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there are economies of scale going on here.
Plus, the unions are still powerful in France, the last time I checked.
Yes.
I think your point was,
in this country. Yeah.
You agree with the right wing, and in that particular case, he is kind of a snooty French elitist.
Well, no, I mean, I really do get his point. And you know, the strikes that they're having in France right now over the raising of the retirement age, those are having a huge effect there. The same thing really can't go on here just because we're a much larger country.
Right. Right.
There are economies of scale going on here.
All right.
What?
No, I thought you were saying j'accuse him.
No. I'm just explaining to him that, you know, what's going on in France right now really won't have the same effect here.
Right. But, I mean, they actually can have national strikes where the unions participate and can actually affect change. That won't happen here.
No.
There's no unity at all.
We're not the same kind of system. We're not the same kind of culture.
There is no public transportation in L.A. anyway. So if the train driver, you know, struck, it's, well.
Yep.
I'll get on the freeway.
All right. Couple of, by the way, Joe Biden down there stumping for our good friend, Democratic Congressman Alan Grayson. He's telling Floridians basically to, you know, Jim.
Come on, bitches, get it together.
Yeah, he's telling the Florida bitches to get
it
together.
And Grayson on his website this morning said that Fox News was reporting that his race was neck and neck. And Grayson said, you know, in Fox News language, that means Grayson's about 23 points ahead.
Yeah.
So that's actually some good news for Congressman Grayson down there.
What are the polls down there?
You know what? I don't know.
Exactly.
He didn't give specific numbers, but Fox News saying it's neck and neck,
right.
That sounds pretty
Grayson's
good.
Grayson's ahead. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. All right. Julie also sending along a, hey, Steph, perhaps now would be a good time to remind all the job people that the auto bailout was an enormous success that the Obama administration gets zero credit for. They just set a new all-time most profitable quarter record. Ford, let's see, Ford also seems quite optimistic about continued growth and continuing recovery from the Bush crash in 2011, and it plans to hire more workers to make energy-efficient cars. Apparently not going with the Fix News Yertle, the America-hating turtle line that businesses won't hire anybody because they're scared of what the crazy Democratic rabble in Congress might do next. The breaking news was Ford hits a record profit, $1.7 billion, sees more recovery adding
good
jobs.
Good for them. That's good for the state of Michigan.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
Cruz is a Kenyan communist.
Exactly my point. All right. So we were saying last hour, Jim, the Tea Party fleece. It's about there's a black guy in the White House. That's what it's about.
Yep.
If God wanted a black guy there, he would have called it the Black House, right? I mean, come on. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World Celebrity Stack and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the
Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, if you just tuned in, the fancy benefit I was at last night for TJ Martell Foundation has turned me from gay to questioning because of Enrique Iglesias, who performed live and is my hero. All right.
Even with those synthesizers?
Ooh. His set, all right. I would, you know what? I would have strapped myself to his face just like Anna Kournikova used to.
Or that mole.
Now that the mole's gone.
Yes, but it was strapped to his face. Like a girl who wouldn't let go.
All right. Oh, gosh, did I miss this? Christine O'Donnell threatened to sue a Delaware radio station for not turning over a videotape of an interview with her. Is there tape that makes her look stupider than we've already seen? Is that possible?
I'm surprised she hasn't sued us.
Wow.
How does she think she owns that?
Yeah. That is not her property.
One can only think, you know, she thinks thus far.
It's in the First Amendment that I have the right to get any tape that was made of me if I don't like it.
Right? It's in the First Amendment that you get to have your police force and also... Wait. Okay.
Guy.
I think she may be the only candidate in the history of the Senate that actually has said guy.
Guy. I know, right?
Whatever, right? Sam Coons was all like, whatever, the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, right? Like, it's in there. Show me, right? What? And then, huh?
Guy.
Okay. And then, guy. All right, everybody. StephanieMiller.com is where you can email us all. And we also have all kinds of fancy new things on the website, don't we?
Yes, we have a new toolbar that goes along the bottom where you can rate things directly from the toolbar on Facebook. You can tweet about things, and you can see how many people are visiting the site at one time.
You can actually say, I tell you, like it. Guy. Awesome, right?
That's how you catapult the propaganda.
Yeah, with a like button.
I know, right?
Could you get my rimshot and comedy music ready? Thank you. Wendy in New Hampshire says, hey, Steph, you mentioned this morning that you are now a professional gay. Exactly how does one become a professional gay? Are there courses, tests, state licensing exams, or what? Yes, Wendy, there is an oral exam.
There's paperwork.
All right. I will be going to the Foundation for Equal Rights.
Speaking of which...
The Foundation for Equal Rights. Fancy do tonight. Ted Olson is speaking. Mayor Bloomberg is speaking. It's all the No on Prop 8 folks. My good friend Bruce Cohen, who's producing the Oscars this year, invited me, and I'll have stories tomorrow.
So you'll go from Q back to L tonight?
Could be. You never know how things. You know, it seems like a touch-and-go night-by-night thing here in New York.
All right.
Oh, what's happening? All right.
Depending on what part of Manhattan you're in, right?
Exactly.
Which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah, if you go from the Village to the Upper East Side, who knows what might happen.
Who knows what could happen by then.
You'd be a Republican again.
Hey, oh, looky here. It's some unsolicited testimonials once again to the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. Let's see. Oh, somebody sent this along. Robin wrote to cedarside.com, said, hi, just want to let you know I heard about your store on the Stephanie Miller Show on 1090 AM Seattle, Washington. She loves her dogs, and if it's good enough for her dog, it's good enough for my dog and cat. Thanks, Robin, who purchased some Cedarside. Best yet, clean and texture.
I am getting so many positive letters about Cedarside.
Me too.
Holy cow.
I know. It's crazy. Because a lot of people that really, really love their animals, like I do, did not know a lot about these spot-on flea and tick things. Like, you know, if you thought really like Frontline Advantix, all that stuff was like your only option, and yet you know it's poison.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, the American Vet Association says, oh, well, yeah, it shortens their life by, you know, 25%, but the last 25% doesn't really matter
anyway.
Yeah,
it's crappy 25%.
Well, it matters to any of us that have ever loved a dog or cat.
Mm-hmm.
You'd give anything, right, for that extra 25% of their life. Let's see. Mark writes, besides your awesome show, I want to thank you from one animal lover for another, letting me know the dangers of Frontline and other spot flea products. I've used them for years, and after reading on the Cedarside website the dangers of them, I can't help but wonder if that may have played a part in the kidney failure of four of my elderly cats that died over the last 4 years, one of which I just lost 2 weeks ago. I was ready to apply Frontline to my 2-year-old black lab Annie and my 5 cats when I heard you talking about Best Yet Flea and Tick Spray from Cedarside.com. And when I heard you talking about the dangers of frontline. I literally got on the computer immediately, went to the Cedarside website and ordered the product. Thanks so much, Stephanie, for endorsing great products like this one on your show. Kisses to your dog, Nick and Fred, from Annie and me. That's Lori and Mark from Spokane, Washington. Thank you, kids.
And where can you get Cedarside?
Well, thank you for asking, Jim. You could go right to StephanieMiller.com and click on the Cedarside.com web, or you can go to Cedarside.com.
Yes. CEDARCIDE.com. I've had some questions about how to spell that, so there you go.
I have gotten the thank you letters from the entire city of Palm Springs. Why?
Why?
Because I sent Teddy's Pride to my friend Suzanne's Greyhound Astra, who, seriously, her breath could melt the entire planet. It's the worst breath ever, but not anymore. Deborah writes, dear Steph, we listened to your show in Chicago. Heard you mention Astra, the Florida Greyhound with bad breath. Now street breath, thanks to Daddy's Pride. Please pass on to Astra's owners that Greyhound rescue is very important. Retired racers just want a loving forever home. We have retired Greyhounds. Dr. Jake and Ellie Mae Bones love you. Thank you. Thank you. Debbie and James and Dr. Jake and Ellie Mae Bones. My favorite dog name ever. My friend had a dog named Ma Barker.
Mob.
It's funny. All right. To Fartstack, please. Yes, this breaking news. Oh, dear. Julie has a Google News fart alert because of our show.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is it's medical and science stack, Chris, so it's very important news.
Timely and topical is today's headlines.
The gas, best known for being used in many stink bombs, may also control blood pressure, say U.S. researchers. Small amounts of hydrogen sulfide, a toxic gas generated by bacteria living in the human gut, are responsible for the foul odor of flatulence. But it seems the gas is also produced by an enzyme in blood vessels where it relaxes them and lowers blood pressure. The findings in mice may lead to new treatments for high blood pressure, as the Science Journal reports. What do you do? I'm doing the mice fart study. Mm-hmm.
So when you Dutch oven someone, you're actually doing them a favor. I see.
I'm lowering your blood pressure.
Right. Yeah.
I'm holding your head under the covers. Thanks. Because I love you.
Of course, you'll suffocate.
How can you even smell
a
mouse fart? That must be just a little tiny, like... What? Did you hear that?
What?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Okay.
They must have scientists with good hearing. I need to get some sleep this week.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's,
Oh, dear.
Okay, another letter. Dear Steph, look, my good friend Mike Pence. He's running for president, looks like. All the tooliest right-wing tools are lining up to run for dictator of America in 2012 after they get done making sure Obama doesn't fix anything that could ungrease their skids into the absolute power. Unfortunately for Stephanie Miller, if Congressman Mike Pence wins, he probably will remember you from that debate panel thing you did with him and Roger Hedgehog.
Cock!
Sorry, what?
You know what? I don't think we need to devolve to that level about Mike Pence. Oh, you're talking about Roger.
His name is
Hedgecock.
Oh, Hedgecock. Pardon me.
Yes.
You're not insinuating anything about Mike.
You keep getting that wrong.
You're not insinuating anything about Mike Pence's pants.
No.
I apologize to Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Okay. Senator Al Franken, fine American. And can I just say, you know, you could tell he was feeling his way at first about, like, I can't be too funny, I'm a senator.
Right.
Okay, so now he's not only is he doing a kick-ass job as senator, he's funny as hell. He's still funny as hell. He did he was doing a Democratic event the other night. He was speaking at a rally at the University of Minnesota. He said Obama's much-used into-a-ditch campaign metaphor is just a little too static. Here's my analogy.
Oh, boy.
In Franken's version, Republicans didn't just drive the car, the economy in Obama's metaphor, into a ditch causing a recession. They flipped it over, rolled down a riverbank, and dropped it off a 2,000-foot cliff. We, the American people, were in the back seat, and the Bush administration removed all the seatbelts, Franken yelled.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all flying around the interior of the car, and rather than mud in Obama's ditch, the car hit jagged rock when it reached the bottom of Franken's cliff, at which point he said George W. Bush jumped out of the car. The crowd went wild. Obama, he continued, dove in through the window and took over, getting the car up those 2,000 feet out of the ditch and onto the road. Yeah, it really was a little more terrifying.
Yeah.
Just driving off the road, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, give me fine American music, because I would do guess the quote, but I'll just tell you now, Jim, it's Paul Krugman, whom you love, and you've been quoting, and he was right, and you were right, the stimulus should have been bigger.
Yep.
However, speaking of the Franken analogy, his latest is falling into the chasm. And you should check it out. But among the other things he writes, he says economies that have experienced a severe financial crisis generally don't heal quickly. From the panic of 1893 to the Swedish crisis of 1992 to Japan's lost decade, financial crises have consistently been followed by long periods of economic distress. And that has been true when, even as in the case of Sweden, the government moved quickly and decisively to fix the banking system. Mm-hmm. What we do know is that the inadequacy of the stimulus has been a political catastrophe. Yes, things are better than they would have been without the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The unemployment rate would probably be close to 12% right now. This is a guy that's won a Nobel Prize in economics. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. It would have been at probably 12% if the administration hadn't passed its plan. But voters respond to facts, not counterfactuals, and the perception is that the administration's policies have failed. The tragedy here is that if voters do turn on Democrats, they will in effect be voting to make things even worse.
Mm-hmm.
The resurgent Republicans have learned nothing from the economic crisis except that doing everything they can to undermine Mr. Obama is a winning political strategy. Tax cuts and deregulation are still the alpha and omega of their economic vision. And if they take one or both houses of Congress, complete policy paralysis, which will mean, among other things, a cutoff of desperately needed aid to the unemployed and a freeze on further help for state and local governments, is a given. The only question is whether we'll have political chaos as well, with Republicans shutting down the government at some point over the next 2 years. And the odds are that we will. A lot of Republicans have told you that's what they're going to do. They're going to shut down the government. Is there any to hope for a better outcome? Maybe, just maybe, voters will have second thoughts about handing power back to the people who got us into this mess, and a weaker-than-expected Republican showing at the polls will give Mr. Obama a second chance to turn the economy around. But right now, it looks as if the too cautious attempt to jump across the economic chasm has fallen short, and we're about to hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the polls! Get out and vote! Call somebody! Do something!
Yeah, it's hard to run on something that might have happened but didn't. That's,
right. But it's, but you know, but I think his point is well taken. You cannot go back. You will make it worse. You cannot go back now. The only chance of going farther, whether it's on the economy or healthcare, is to get more Democrats in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, got Right Wing World, got Celebrity Stack. Oh, I've got to talk about Carbonite because
yes, that's why I was just gesticulating wildly.
I saw you on Skype. You look like a creepy Joe Miller, like serial killer on Skype.
Hey,
anyway,
you mean I'm in third place?
T and then a he. Mm-hmm. Joe Miller's in third place now. Wah, wah, wah. Okay. When Sarah Palin starts screeching on the day after Election Day, I will want to freeze that on my computer.
Guys and gals!
Oh, yeah. I'll never want to lose that.
Jeez.
You know, every year, almost half of all computers lose some of their files from crashes, viruses, theft. I have audio files. I have pictures. I have financial documents. I have... I need Carbonite Online backup, and so do you. It automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the interwebs. $55 for the entire year. That's for unlimited backup. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Carbonite has recovered over 6 billion files that might otherwise have been lost forever. Here's my special offer to get you started. Go to Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial. Plus, you get 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Not what I've heard.
Enrique Iglesias, who is my hero.
I saw him last night live, Jim. Oh, my God, he's so dreamy. And
oh, my God.
He was all like, I love your hero. I was like, okay, whatever, all right. Awesome.
So okay. You're 12 now.
Yes, I became 12. I became a teeny bopper last night. And now I'm questioning. All right, out in California, yay. The Jerry Reid, was this the last debate or what's the dealio? Jerry Brown.
Well, this wasn't really a debate. They were attending the women's conference that was going on in Long Beach.
They're watching a drive-in movie that was playing on her forehead?
Nah.
No, come on. Okay. Jerry Brown and Meg Whitman.
If she takes her
negative ads as reasonably defined, I'll take mine off. No question. We do it together.
That's what I'm asking.
No problem. I pledge that right now.
Governor Brown pledges he will take his negative ads off the air. Ms. Whitman, if you'll take your negative ads off the air, and let's say, what are we, on Tuesday? By tomorrow evening.
So here's...
Except they're working.
So here's what I'll do. I will take down any ads that could even be remotely be construed as a personal attack. But I don't think we can take down the ads that talk about where Governor Brown stands on the issue.
Yeah, okay.
You mean how great California was 30 years ago when you came here?
Yeah.
I forget who was governor. Oh.
It's hardly a negative ad. Just quoting her.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Chris Kenbach.
Is that who you are or what you like to do?
Ah. Oh, he's the right-wing asshat in Colorado.
I've said that I agree with the Establishment Clause, that I agree with the idea that there is a separation of church and state, that teachers should not be leading prayer, a particular kind of prayer in classrooms.
I've never said that.
What I've said is that I think that the federal government and we as a society have gone too far in trying to separate good organizations that perform good functions for people just based on the fact that one has a religious association and the other doesn't.
Why is he suddenly moderating his message?
Interesting.
Because he's trying to seem like less of a right-wing lunatic than he actually is.
Well, no. You know why? It's because he's not talking to Fox News in that clip. He's talking to CNN. That's why he's moderating his message.
Yeah, no, I watched the Meet the Press debate with him. Mm-hmm. He has flip-flopped all over the place.
He really has.
It is so clear that he's just, you know, most people do it a little more, like, with a little more finesse than he's done it.
He does it with a billy club.
Michael Bennett, his opponent, Democratic opponent in Colorado.
The personal reaction by the independent voters that you've described, based on a lot of, you know, the political rhetoric that's gone back and forth, might not make it helpful. And I think the president should be in places around the country where it will be helpful. And we are running this race on the facts, on the ground in Colorado, what people really are interested in working on.
Yeah, he was explaining why he hasn't asked President Obama to come campaign for him.
By the way, isn't that a Meet the Press interview? Mm-hmm. That was the interview where Ken Buck compared homosexuality to alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He said it's, what did he call it exactly? I forget. Who can keep one ring?
A disease or something? I don't know.
Yes, it's a thing. It's a choice, an affliction of some sort.
You need a 12-step program to get out of it. Mm.
Uh-huh.
Shimmy, shimmy, left. Fosse. Not those steps.
There are no falsies. All right, Jermaine, my right-wing love muffin in Philadelphia. Hi, Jermaine.
Oh, I'm not right-wing. I'm definitely a Democrat.
Okay.
I was just asking some questions. I didn't quite get the whole don't ask, tell policy and why it had to be. But your program director, whoever answered the phone, gave me a clear vision.
Program director is answering the phone now? Things are bad in radio.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
I don't know who answered your phone. I was just giving her credit.
Yes.
You've talked about a lot of stuff since I've been holding, so it's a lot of things that I could possibly say. It's a wonderful show. Hoping that Joe Stack wins.
My only perspective was talking about
the gay thing, because the guy was on, you had a caller that was talking about the gays. And it was from my perspective. I'm in the music business, so I think that I've seen the whole gay community. And it was my perspective about the whole don't tell, don't ask thing is that I think that people need to be a little more educated, because I didn't know it was about, you know, families or couples wanting to see each other and be able to communicate over if they're in Iraq or things like that. I don't even know about that. All I hear is just that they want to, you know, take it away and nobody ever gives me a reason why.
So you're saying people need to be better educated?
I'm a little confused by your call. What's your point about don't ask, don't tell?
My whole point is that do you think possibly that could be a little more violent, just taking it away? That do you think that it has to be more education within the Army before they take something like that away?
No, I don't. But thanks for calling. Okay.
No, they're big boys. They can.
No.
Yeah, they can deal with
29 minutes. We're out of time, but I don't really need any more response than that. No. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're horny and you want to get some. I get it.
Ew, Jack, gross. Come on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris in Oakland on Ken Buck. Is that who you are? What you do? Yeah. Hi, Ken. Hi, Chris.
Hey, now come on.
Okay.
Hey, you know, it's funny, when the Republicans or the Democrats won the House and the Senate and the White House, I was afraid you guys were going to have anything to talk about, and boy, was I wrong. But
yeah.
Anyway, I had two quick points. First, about Ken Buck, you could totally tell he's lying when he says that, because he says it with, like, all the conviction of a guy getting punched in the stomach. I mean, he barely has enough air to squeeze the words out.
Yeah. Yep, yes, he seemed to have much more conviction when he talked about gay people having some sort of affliction like alcoholism. Okay, speaking of Ken Buck, Senate candidates Ken Buck and Sharon Engel, among others, have received attention for the absurd claim the Federal Department of Education is unconstitutional. But because House races generally receive much less attention than the higher-profile Senate contests, it's unclear just how common this radical position is among the GOP's full slate of candidates. A questionnaire circulated by Liberty Central. Guess who that's led by? Trump dialer Ginny Thomas. She has a great deal of light on this question, and the answer is not pretty. Of the 60 candidate questionnaires submitted by the current Republican nominees for House or Senate seat, at least 49 adopt a view that would declare much, if not all, of federal education policy unconstitutional.
Wow. Now, does she explain why it would be unconstitutional? Where in the Constitution it says you cannot have a Department of Education?
It's what they say.
It's in the phantom constitution, the ghost constitution that only they can see.
Oh.
Yes, like you remember Dick Cheney had a different, entirely separate government that he was running over in his little office, Portal to Hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like a shadow. And like Karl Rove has formed a shadow RNC. Mm-hmm. Jim is correct. This is a shadow constitution. Only they can see what's in it.
Right. It's so dangerous having a portal to hell in your office because remember that one
time
it
was a fire.
Yeah, that one time the fire happened in his office. It was because hell almost burned through.
Right. Like we weren't going to know that that's because he opened the portal to hell.
Right.
To have a chat with Satan. Okay. All right. Speaking
of the portal.
And they
had to sacrifice Harry Whittington to make it all better. Except he didn't hit him hard enough.
That was a human sacrifice that went awry.
Right.
Okay, let's dive. Speaking of the portal to hell,
Asmodeus was not pleased,
and that's why Christine O'Donnell had to have sex on that satanic altar.
Exactly.
To rectify
it. And that's why God wants her to be a senator, because he told her. Okay,
but God sounds like Ed Asner, who's a great progressive. So
yeah,
I hate spunk.
By the way,
spunk.
Stephanie, have you seen the new picture that's on your website and on your Facebook page of Ed Asner trying to look down your blouse at the poster out here in the elevator vestibule?
No, I think I'll check that out. How would I have any idea what's on my website or Facebook?
Well,
I'll go look.
Yes.
Okay.
He's trying to look down your blouse. It's very cute. He was here doing some voice work, and they took a picture of that. So.
And let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? In the portal to hell, here we go. Alex Castellanos. Boy, this is, I'm sure they would have said exactly the same thing if this was a conservative woman who got her head stepped on at a Democratic event.
You see somebody running around a car, chasing your candidate, coming at him, it can be a scary moment.
Yeah.
Turns out this lady is a professional political performer and agitator. This is kind of what she does for a living.
Agitators.
I think she crossed the boundary, and I think in response to those people went way over the line. I think you shouldn't be doing things like this in campaigns. The stomping we really care about here, Wolf, is the one Conway's going to get on Tuesday.
Yeah, because that's exactly the same, Alex.
Yeah.
Unfeeling, uncaring bastard.
5'2", 110-pound woman with a sign is a big threat.
Yeah. Don't you love that? I mean, this, again, came right from the top. This is how Rand Paul minimized it on Fox News. Oh, it's all the same. Both sides, kind of confrontational.
All the confrontationalism of the left-wing loons to which my bodyguards responded in kind. But I apologize if anyone misconstrued what happened.
Jim, it's your tiny dancer of deception, your little lying sack of cute, Dana Perino on the Fox News.
But and look, it only took them 22 months, but they finally started taking responsibility that they are now president, and the Congress has been Democrat for 4 years, and they're about to have a wake-up call on November 2nd. Yeah. Midterm elections are always about the president. I know that they've said that it's not. It is. It's like your midterm grade.
Okay. Do you still have a thing for her, Jim?
Not really.
Oh, that the bloom is off that rose?
Yeah. All right, Glenn Beck on the radio on Californians.
California, may I suggest you take whatever's left in your state pocket and you buy one copy of Broke for
his new
the
book.
Library. You need radical chemotherapy. If it's not radical to elect Jerry Brown, a guy who goes on TV and goes, yeah, I was bluffing the whole time. I mean, I had nothing. I had no plan.
Well, but now he does.
Say these all the time. Well, you're saying them now.
Yeah, and Meg Whitman bragged about how great California was 30 years ago when Jerry Brown was governor.
Yep.
That's why she brought her business here, because it was so great and business friendly. Oh, boy. Okay, Monica Crowley on the Fox News.
Back in April, he said Republicans, quote, drove the car into a ditch, referring to the economy. Mm-hmm. Now he says that car is out of the ditch, but Republicans better plan to ride in the back.
Well, I think after the civil rights movement of the 1960s,
what?
Riding in the back certainly does have some civil rights, some racial overtones to it, and you can't tell me that the President of the United States was so not aware of that when he said it.
The President is a racist. He's obviously a racist because of the racial overtones riding in the back. How dare
the
he?
The back of the bus is the term, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's not the back seat. The kids ride in the back seat.
He has a deep-seated hatred of white people. He just proved
it. Exactly. It means they've been acting like spoiled brats. They need to sit in the kids' seats. They need to see the child seats in the back so they don't hurt themselves.
Monica Crowley's not too bright, is she?
No. Glenn Beck on TV.
I cannot stress to you enough the importance of getting out to the polls for this election.
Mm-hmm.
You vote for the candidate with honor and integrity, the one that stands for the Constitution, mm-hmm. one that is for smaller government and cutting spending. That's my opinion. You vote however you want. That's what I look for. And if it's, well, it's usually the Republican, but if it's the Republican, great. If it's an independent, great. If you think that fits the Democrats, well, okay.
That was part of, actually, he was describing him. I'd say most Democratic candidates more than Republican there. But thank you, Glenn, for that fair and balanced thought. All right. O'Reilly on this.
Since Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House in 2007, almost $5 trillion has been added to the national debt. And what do we have to show for all that? Well, Mrs. Pelosi does ride home to San Francisco in a taxpayer-funded private jet.
Oh, for
That's
the love of God.
One thing.
Like every other Speaker of the House in the history of the friggin' country, she lives 3,000 miles away, and she's next in line for the presidency, you moron.
You're not going to be waiting at the Atlanta airport for 8 hours when you're the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We couldn't get that passed. I was on a layover on Southwest.
It's required for security reasons.
Yeah.
The Sergeant of Arms is the one that requires it, not... Okay, that concludes the
O'Reilly is such an idiot.
You know what really reminds me, and that is thisiswhyidrink.com. Is there such a website? I think I'll start one. Here is from the Drunk Stack. A pair of new studies suggests a correlation between intelligence and a thirst for alcohol. Don't worry, all that excessive drinking is just a sign of your intelligence. According to two long-term studies, one American, one British, there's a correlation between smarts and a thirst for alcohol. The more intelligent children in both studies grew up to drink alcohol more frequently and in greater quantities than less intelligent children. One of the people who did the study said drinking is the only way to deal with morons. Smart people booze so we can tolerate everyone else. See, that's why I drink, so you don't have to watch Right Wing World.
That fails to explain drinking with your shoes. He's really smart.
Exactly. What I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? We watch Right Wing World so you don't have to. In order to watch Right Wing World, I have to drink.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
Sure.
So I'm just saying. Makes sense to me. And you know, even when I go on TV to debate Right Wing Morons, I'm drunk frequently. I've had a glass or two. That's what I had a friend over once. She's like, you're going to have wine before you go? And I was like, I have to have wine. I'm going to be on with Dana Loesch or whatever teabagger they have.
Andrea Tantaros.
Yeah. How the hell am I going to deal with Andrea Tantaros sober? Okay. Let's go to Deanna in Sacramento. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Deanna.
Hi, Steph. Hey, I just want to say thank you so much for all that you do. And you know, we really need some help here in Sacramento. On Tuesday, Andrew Pugno, the douchebag who created the Yes on 8 proposition, is running for the 5th assembly seat here in Sacramento against a gentleman by the name of Richard Pan, and ultimately, it's a tight race, and honestly, we can't let this guy get into power. I mean, and it's a huge slap in the face to a lot of Americans in this country.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to be in New York tonight with all of the folks behind No on Prop 8 and you know, Ted Olson, among others. And I absolutely hear you. It's just in California, we have got such important races. You know the other one, Deanna, keep your eye on? Kamala Harris is fabulous. The San Francisco district attorney that is running for attorney general. I don't know how that race is. Have you heard how that race is shaping up?
I have not. No, unfortunately, most of my focus has been here because a lot of people locally don't even know that this guy is running. And when I tell people, they're just like floored. And they're like, what can we do? What can we do? And obviously, we're getting down to that wire. And today, Equality Action Now, the local campaign here, is that they're doing phone banking today and Saturday. And they're asking anybody who can call and help to phone bank. But also, they need $500 to get some campaign ads out there to stop this guy. Because honestly, we cannot let this guy win in this state. So
yes, we should be a homophobe-free zone in California. All right, Deanna.
Absolutely.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. All right. Yeah, and by the way, in the latest polling, you know, gay marriage has marriage equality has majority support in California. So, you know, why don't you ask some of them, hey, want to go back to the polls now? They'll be like, oh, no. Now we don't care what the people think. All right. By the way, this impromptu political ad brought to you by the Stephanie Miller Show. Steve Cooley is a douche nozzle. Vote for Kamala Harris for attorney general. Thank you. And good night. Bill in Asheville, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Oops, I didn't do it right. Bill in Asheville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. I've got a couple things to say about the gentleman from France who called a little while ago. Nonviolent civil disobedience is alive and well in the United States of America. For the last many years now, we've had a campaign against mountaintop removal coal mining and new coal plants. Not long after Al Gore made his, what I consider to be somewhat hypocritical, call for young people to go out and commit civil disobedience, me, a person who is pretty much about his generation, went out and I locked myself to a coal-burning plant that was being, it's a new plant in Virginia.
Yikes.
And along
you know, I wish he would have committed one act of civil disobedience, like not conceding. That would have been helpful,
yeah.
I think, in many ways.
Just saying.
46 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we conclude on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, John Fugelsang joins me live here in the New York Bureau for another Fridays with Fugelsang. Plus, David Bender, whom we love, to do some midterm talk. Let's go to Greg in Thousand Oaks. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Hello. Love you, Mama, but I'm not loving Obama on the LGBT issues right now.
Yes, you do much better with the Carl Paladinos and Ken Bucks of the world.
Okay, I take it back.
All right, thank you.
I submit. No, I have a partner of 5 years that's in Venezuela, and we've tried twice during the Bush administration to get him here. The LGBT issues, you know, are really, really important, especially the immigration issues. It's a huge, huge problem.
I agree.
I have a job here that I love. I work at a local university, and I'm forced to choose between my job and the person that I love because I may have to relocate to be with him.
Yep. Yeah, well, we had a caller, you know, earlier with that same issue. But, I'm just saying the only way, just unlike any other issue, and I can't say it enough, that we're going to go forward is to get more Democrats in there. Seriously, particularly with as much progress as we've made on the, you know, gay rights issues, this is a horror show of homophobes.
Yep.
If you haven't taken a peek at the candidates on the Republican side this time. I mean, it's you know, I hate when people go, oh, well, you know, I'm just not partisan. It's like, well, you know
what?
They pick sides. You better be. You better pick a side in this fight because All right. By the way, oh, this will fix everything. Guess who? Rudy Giuliani, Jim, says the door is not closed on 2012.
Yeah.
So we might.
9/11.
Does that mean we'll be subjected to Judy Giuliani?
You know, I'm going to see Mayor Bloomberg tonight. I'm going to see him speak. I would prefer him. He's right on the Ground Zero Mosque. He's right on the marriage equality. You know, he's actually a
he's also in favor of Meg Whitman, but, you know.
Ugh, well.
Well, there is that.
Not that.
Maybe he just wants more IMAX theaters in New York.
Yeah.
Jay in Canada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
Just want to say I live in Windsor, which is across Detroit, and because these two cities are so intertwined with the auto industry, it's basically what happens to Michigan and Detroit affects Windsor. Windsor itself has, I think, last number is about 17% of unemployment. Mm-hmm. So many of us closely watch what's going on, and we are basically amazed of willingness of American voters to basically cut their nose to spite their face.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, that's exactly. I mean, not only do people that, you know, vote against their own best interests, but just go, oh, you know, there's no reason to get involved. It's all the same. It's like, yeah, there's a difference. Oh, by the way, here's Sharon Engel's latest desperate tactic. Her campaign attorney wrote a fundraising letter saying that Democrats, that Harry Reid intends to steal the election.
Well, that's going to be the meme. For all these campaigns.
Yeah.
Of course.
If Democrats win, it's so, oh, well, they stole Acorn, the Black Panthers.
Yes. Yes, except that Acorn doesn't exist anymore. And
that's not going to stop.
And the Black Panthers have, what, like six members?
Yes.
I think they're probably hired from central casting by Glenn Beck's producers.
The letter alleges the Reid campaign, oh, get the drama sting ready, offered free food at voter turnout events. And that unions are offering gift cards in return for a vote for Reid, although the letter does not list specific events at which these practices allegedly took place. A search of recent news reports did not turn up accounts of unions offering any gifts to voters or any evidence of anything that Sharon Engel says.
So they pulled it completely out of their ass.
Exactly. Dennis, my right-wing love muffin in South Carolina. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to address the situation with the girl in Kentucky. I was wondering where all this outrage from the left was when Tea Party in St. Louis, a black Tea Party at that, was beat up by SEIU thugs. And also another
when
Tea Party.
When did that happen?
That didn't happen. No. That's one of those.
It did.
No.
Where's the film?
Yeah.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
Where do you think that wouldn't have showed up on the news?
Yeah, where is the film?
Nice try. I'm not using my precious pre-election time with that douche nozzle. Yeah. Remember that one time?
Yeah. It was the same film that showed that Obama was born in Kenya. And then he has a deep-seated hatred of white people.
Well, at least one thing I know here in America, give me some fine American music, money has nothing to do with justice in our justice system. Superficial reporting. Charlie Sheen had 8 days left on his probation for attacking his ex-wife last Christmas, so you assume something like drunkenly trashing a hotel room while a hooker hid in the closet would probably constitute some sort of violation, except surprise! That would require actual police officers who weren't starstruck by a guy who wears a Hawaiian shirt on a sitcom.
Correction, it was not a hooker.
No?
It was a porn star. She would like to let you know that.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes, she has released a statement that she is not a hooker.
All right.
She's a porn star.
That's much classier. She does it for much more money.
Well, it's also more legal.
So stipulated. He was not arrested. Cops gave him an option, go to the hospital or jail. He wisely chose door number one. Obviously, if it had been you or me with the hooker, we'd have been tasered in the reproductive organs before being deported to Canada with all the other sex addicts. But hey, Charlie has a serious drug problem, so at least CBS did the responsible thing, immediately got him back to L.A. this week and check into rehab. Except, surprise again, Charlie Sheen will be sleeping at his L.A. home tonight, shooting a movie Friday, and back on the Two and a Half Men set a week from today, according to TMZ. I don't know if justice is black or white in this country, but it certainly is green.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! Jim, did you see John Lennon's angry laundry letter? This is...
What?
Yes.
Startling. Well, he called his own wife an Oriental, which...
Well, back then, I mean, that
back
was...
Back then, I guess it was...
Yeah.
They still call that cracker mix that I love Oriental mix, and no one seems to say, I don't know. He said, dear laundry, Mrs. Yoko Ono Lennon does not, will not, has not dyed her hair. She does not sweat. Most Orientals do not sweat like us.
Huh?
What is your excuse for turning my brand new white shirt yellow? John Lennon.
Oh, oh dear.
Oh, dear.
That letter is now worth something because it has John Lennon's signature on it.
I think that might have been during his drunk periods. Or
apparently.
Perhaps in between the heroin and drunk periods.
And the rock and roll other breaking news before we go in Celebrity Stack. Keith Richards did snort his father's ashes.
Oh, glad to clear that up.
Said he did, then he denied it. Now his new book, he said, he snorted his dad, Bert.
It sounds terrible, you know, this lying down a big pile on the table.
Gives him something in common with Ernie, who's also snorted Bert. Hey, I don't know. That's just
what?
A rumor.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. 58 minutes after the hour, that's it. For us, I'd like to thank Jim Ward, Chris Lavoie, and Miranda Moreno. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.